health and wellness from A to Z. If an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, The Jeff Hawker Show is your prescription for a common sense approach to your well-being. Live from Palm Springs, here's Jeff.
Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you recovered from all of our road closures and things going on in the Coachella Valley. Our first guest today is, and you better say the name again because I always do it wrong. Jenna is the CEO of HARC, and HARC is Health Assessment and Research for Communities. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Say your name.
I'm Jenna LeCount Heinley.
There you go. And you have a PhD.
I do.
You're very well versed in health, especially as it relates to a wide variety of health initiatives for the community. And you guys actively do a triennial survey that really delves deep into a variety of different topics based upon what you feel the need is for our community.
Well, it's more what the community feels the need is for our community. So HARC was formed about 13 years ago with the idea, our local leaders in healthcare here and social services really found that they could not tell our story. There was no data to tell the story of the Coachella Valley. There's great data and great numbers for Riverside County, but it's a big county, and we are different. There's a lot of things that make us unique.
It's a big county and continue to grow.
Exactly.
It's one of the fastest growing in the United States.
Yes, and so the idea was we need some data to tell our story so that we do get our fair share of resources that we need to have a healthy community. So HARC was formed to fill that gap. And we've been doing this triennial survey. We've done it 4 times. This is our 5th. And basically, every cycle, we go to the community and we say, what do you need to know that you cannot find anywhere else? Because we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, if somebody else has great data on something, we don't need to do it. So, for instance,
Hold on a second. When you say go out to the community, you mean the partners that you provide information to?
Yes. So we talk to healthcare organizations. We talk to higher education. We talk to nonprofits who do health and human services. And we say, what do you need to know?
So why is this important?
Well, that data is used by those same organizations to really take the pulse of what is going on in our community. So they can prioritize what are the needs here, much as we would all like to address everything. That's not realistic.
Right.
You've got to.
It would be like 4,000 pages long.
Exactly. And you know, much as we all want to try to improve all aspects of health, you have to focus in on where you have expertise and where the greatest need is. And so our data helps these organizations to do that. And it also helps to tell the story and to bring in resources from outside the valley to support services to make our community healthier. So for example, you know, if a nonprofit says, I need money for this service, trust me, it's a really big deal, please, please, please. Well, that's somewhat compelling. But if they say, I need money for this service, here is an objective third party that states, if this affects 1 in 10 adults here in our valley, that's thousands of people, here is how serious it is, please give me money to do this. Right. That's a lot more compelling. So the organizations that use our data to support their request for funding are much more successful in a very competitive environment and are able to bring those funds to our valley to provide things like meal delivery for homebound seniors, pregnancy prevention education for teens, mental health counseling for young children in schools, mm-hmm. transportation for people with disabilities. All of these things are supported by these funds that they were able to get by citing our data.
And later in the show, we're going to have Craig Johnson on. He's community outreach coordinator for Jewish Family Services of the Desert, also known as JFS Desert. Can you give us an idea, give us a case study of some, you know, one of your clients, one of your organizations that uses the data that really has expanded what they're able to offer?
So one of my favorite examples is Jack Newby, who's the executive director of Jocelyn Center. He said, you know, and he used to be the grants development director at Mizell.
Yep.
And so he's done
amazing. Their gala was fantastic on Friday night. Deborah Cox was beyond believable. And, you know, and they raised a lot of money for the Meals on Wheels, which is really crucial to our community.
Exactly. So Jack always said that when he was trying to fundraise for the Meals on Wheels program, to funders who were not here in our valley, they hear Palm Springs and they think rich white guys playing golf. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of rich white guys playing golf.
No, not so much. I play golf, but I'm not rich.
So we do have that, but our data helped him tell sort of the hidden story of the Coachella Valley, that in addition to these rich white guys playing golf, there's also thousands and thousands of local seniors who are food insecure, who are going hungry, and who really need services like food support, and many of them are frail and they cannot leave their homes. And our data helps him to tell that story of these thousands of seniors right. who need this service. And that makes his request for funding much more compelling. Whereas if you just hear Palm Springs and you think, why do you need money for home delivered meals? You know, you don't need that,
right.
but they really do. And so that has allowed them to have a much more powerful ask.
And I'm sure, you know, the gated community phenomena also isolates people, you know, because we got all these gated communities, but some of those gated communities have elderly seniors that may not have neighbors that are in communication with them because there's a lot of snowbirds that come and go, and some people are not here for 6 months out of the year, so they don't know what's going on with their neighbors.
Very true. Very true. I'm really excited for this particular iteration of the survey. We've added a couple of new questions. And one of the questions we added was a question about loneliness, because I think that is a real issue in seniors and in everyone.
Everyone, yeah.
About how often people feel lonely or isolated. And I'll be really intrigued to see that data when it's ready.
And I think the other part of that, too, is people don't understand that when you become isolated and lonely, you retreat into your home. And programs like Meals on Wheels literally are going to those seniors, and they're checking on not only that they're eating properly, but they're also checking to make sure that they've moved. They're not sitting in the same chair that they were 2 days ago, you know, that their animals are being fed, you know, all those things that, you know, are quality of life issues that need to be taken care of.
Absolutely. And sometimes the meal delivery drivers are the only people that they see all day.
Now, you and I should tell everybody, we work together. You know, I was doing publicity for you guys for a couple years, and it was so gratifying to see how the survey, the triennial survey, really helped the community members. Now, you have some points that you've been able to help people raise quite a bit of money.
Yes, yes. We're so pleased that, you know, every survey cycle, the organizations who use our data, and we make sure that the data is free, completely free, so anyone can access it. We don't want, you know, any of our tiny little nonprofits who say, you know, I can't afford $50 to pay for this data. We want them to be able to use it, because data that sits on a shelf is useless. It has to be put in the hands of people who can do something with it. And right. so it's important to us to eliminate any barriers to accessing that data. So, I mean, if you don't have a report, if you can't understand it, you just call me and I'll explain it for you.
So your website is harkdata.org. So are you still printing and also doing online?
Yes. So we have an executive report that sort of summarizes the high-level findings. And the survey is massive, and it covers so many topics. So when I say executive report, it's 100 pages. But it's available in print, and you can download it online as a PDF. Again, all totally free. And then we also do special reports, because while it's very, you know, 100 pages, it's still just the tip of the iceberg.
We're talking with Jenna Lacombe-Heinley, who is the CEO of HARC. And you're listening to the Jeff Hawker Show on iHub Radio.
Taking your health seriously, iHub Radio presents The Jeff Hawker Show. Here's Jeff.
We're in discussion with Jenna Lacombe-Heinley. She's the CEO of HARC, and HARC does a lot of great things for the community. Now we're talking about the triennial survey, but in the second part of the hour, we're going to talk more in depth about some of the other programs you have going on. Tell us a little bit about how the survey works. and kind of the timeline that you do for the survey?
So right now, we are in the midst of data collection, which means that our partner, Kent State University, is making thousands and thousands of phone calls to homes all over the Coachella Valley. And they call cell phones and landlines. So if you don't have a landline, that's okay. And they make calls in English and Spanish. And anyone with a phone in the Coachella Valley has an equal chance of being called. And this is important because if we're going to really represent our community, it has to be this random sample. So if you do see on your caller ID some number from Ohio, it's them, and you should pick it up. And it is not a spam call. They have lovely, well-trained graduate students who are making these calls.
Well, I would imagine it's great for the students to learn how to do this as well.
Yes, and they are so well-trained. I had one person say to me, oh, I took your survey. It was fun. And I was like, since when is taking a survey fun? Great. But they have to do about 80 to 90,000 calls to get us the sample that we need. So they are calling everyone, and everyone should take the call. It's anonymous. You don't have to tell them your name, and you don't have to do any of that. You don't have to say your address. You absolutely won't get asked anything financial about your credit card information or anything like that. It is all about you and what you need to live your best life.
Well, and it's also about the community. You are helping your own community.
Exactly. So even if your health is great, you are still helping us to represent the breadth and depth that is our community and the diverse needs of different populations. So it's so important to us that people get the call, they take the call. And this year, for the first time, we've added an extra incentive in that every week, one of the people who takes our survey is randomly selected. We call them back and we say, hey, guess what? You won
$100. Oh.
Yes. One of my staff has the enviable
job.
Money
is very motivating.
Very motivating. So one of my staff has the enviable job of giving somebody the good news every week, and they can either pick up their $100 at our office in Palm Desert, or we can send it to them if they want to give us their address. So
getting 80,000 people takes time.
It takes a lot of time. Yeah. Yes. So we started data collection in late January. The phone call started. And I'm hoping we can manage to complete all of this by early July. So it's a long period of time that we're collecting this data. And if you all pick up the phone on the first call, that would make it shorter.
So how does that work if you have people who have second homes, like a snowbird, who may only be here for 3 or 4 months a year?
That's why the timing is very important to us. That's why we start in the winter. We do, you know, data collection does go into the summer. So if they're not here during that time, that's why we it's very important to us to get started early in the year and not do data collection solely in the summertime, because that only hits permanent residents. And we do want to capture anyone who lives here for 30 days or more.
Yeah, so it has nothing to do with citizenship.
Nope, absolutely not.
Which is great. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're here benefiting from our healthcare institutions, and we should have them as part of it.
We should, because you want to know about your community. They are part of the community. So,
yeah.
So our data collection will hopefully, if everybody takes the call, end in July. Last cycle, it took a little bit longer than that, and I'm hoping we can get done in July, because then
so
my team...
So when you reach that goal, then you cut it off.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, great.
So my team then crunches the numbers, and that takes us a long time, because it is a substantial survey, and the data will be released to the public in a written report, a presentation, an event, and online in January 2020.
So give us an idea of a category that you focus on that specifically helps residents here.
So because the content is driven by the community needs, it's so broad. So we have healthcare access and utilization. We have mental health. We have major disease. We have food insecurity. We have questions about your socioeconomic needs. Do you need help paying your rent? Do you have a stable place to live? Things like of that nature. We also have a section where we ask parents or guardians about their child's health. We don't want to talk to the kids on the phone, because that's a whole quagmire of ethics that I don't want
to... How old do you have to be to take the survey?
18. But we are talking to parents about their child, so they can tell us things like whether the child has mental health issues or whether the child has a major disease like asthma or diabetes, and what that child needs to live their best life as well.
So we have a big problem with homelessness here in the Valley. Is that part of the survey?
So our survey, because it is telephone-based, isn't a great capture of homeless people. Yeah. Certainly, if somebody is homeless and does have a phone, then they could potentially be included in the sample. But most homeless people do not have a phone, so they are not included in the sample. But it does have some really important predictors of homelessness. So, for instance, we added a question this time around that asks, you know, do you have a stable place to live? Or are you couch surfing? Are you, you know, staying with a friend? How comfortable are you in that? So I'm really eager to see that. We also have, of course, income data, whether they own or rent their own home. So we have some data that can help us look at sort of the predictors of homelessness and whether people are at risk for it.
So many people now, like I no longer have a hard line at my office or my house. I use my cell phone for everything. Has that changed your collection process?
Drastically.
Yeah.
In our very first survey in 2007, we had no cell phones included in the sample. It was all landlines. So far.
Like, oh, we have to change this.
our last complete survey, right, was about 60% all cell phones. And now, you know, we only have a couple hundred done, but it's looking like it's going to be more like 80% our cell phones. So it's just going up and up and up. And that's wonderful for us because it is representative. But on the same time, the cell phones are harder because you might be out and about. You might be driving. They have to make sure you're safe and it's a good time to talk to you. So it does take more calls to get that person on a cell phone. And the cell phone numbers are more expensive for us to purchase. So,
we're talking with Jenna Lacombe-Heinley, who is the CEO of HARC. And it's Health Assessment and Research for Communities. Their website is harcdata.org. Coming up, we're going to talk with Craig Johnson. He is the Manager of Community Outreach for JFS Desert. And find out all about how it helps their organization using the triennial survey. You're listening to the Jeff Hawker Show on iHub Radio.
The greatest wealth is your health. Participation encouraged. But if you just want to listen, we won't complain. Call 760-544-TALK. That's 760-544-8255. This is where the Coachella Valley comes to discuss wellness. The Jeff Hawker Show on iHub Radio.
We're learning all about the triennial survey from HARC, Health Assessment and Research for Communities. We're talking with Jenna Lacombe-Heinley, who is the CEO of HARC. And on the phone with us is Craig Johnson. He's the Manager of Community Outreach for JFS Desert, also known as Jewish Family Services of the Desert. And we're going to talk a little bit about how JFS uses that data to get funding and to really support the programs they do. How are you doing today, Craig?
Fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing good. You're calling from where? Indio?
Yes, sir.
Yay.
That's
hello,
right.
Everybody
beautiful
in
day.
Indio.
I'm sorry?
Hello, everybody in Indio.
We're waving to you, Jeff.
So, well, tell us, you've been with JFS Desert for a while now, correct? How many years you've
yes,
been
sir.
There?
It'll be 5 years in July.
So you're very involved with community outreach, and you're kind of the pulse of the community and kind of figuring out what kind of programs you guys do and what you guys support. Why is it important for you guys to use HARC data?
The HARC data, the information we retrieve oftentimes is anecdotal, which is useful, certainly. HARC data is objective. It's gathered via scientific method over a certain amount of time, and it's trustworthy. So utilizing HARC data allows us to gain additional information that there's not a chance we would be able to glean on our own.
And as Jenna can attest, it's very in-depth, and most small nonprofits can't afford to spend the time to do it.
Very true, very true. And so that's right. Why we are so it's so important for us that we can provide it for free. So that's why we have funders to underwrite it, because we don't want somebody like Jewish Family Service to not use it because of a cost barrier. We want them to have the best data they can possibly have to do their best work.
So tell us
appreciate it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about how you use it and what programs have benefited for you guys because of the survey.
Certainly. Well, primarily we're using HARC data when we are creating and submitting grant requests. And grant requests oftentimes are utilized to support our programs of case management, emergency senior services, and mental health counseling, which are our hallmark programs that we offer at JFS. So in effect, we utilize HARC data to be able to offer all of our programs to the community.
Which, give us an idea, some of the programs that you currently use.
I mentioned the big ones. Mental health counseling.
I'm sorry.
We offer mental health counseling. It's all right. It's all right. It's Sunday, Jeff. You're allowed, you know.
I know.
Craig, why don't you go into more depth about your mental health counseling? Because I know that program has really grown over the years, and I know that is a topic that's a major topic on our survey is mental health needs and whether somebody needs help and hasn't been able to get it. And you guys provide services for kids and for seniors and for everybody, right?
Correct. Mental health counseling for all ages. It's exactly right. Just very briefly about the program, we accept all major insurances. For those folk who do not have insurance, we will utilize a sliding cash scale. We are not denying anyone an opportunity to see a counselor if there's a need. And that opportunity to see a counselor is often provided via grant monies that we receive for those individuals who are not able to either have insurance or pay a bunch of money to see a counselor. Those grant dollars are then utilized to be able to see a counselor. So without utilizing the data, without getting those grant dollars, we would not be able to provide the service that is so necessary. So certainly with mental health counseling, it is vastly improved our ability to serve the community. Now, as far as our case management program, so case managers are individuals who help folk who either call up or walk in and say, I need help with X, and fill in the blank. It ranges widely. The same thing with the creation and submission of grant requests to support our case management program. The HARC data is utilized for those grant submissions as well. And it's very important that those grant dollars come in because there is no reimbursement for that program and for that service. So without those grant dollars, we would not be able to provide services that, in effect, help keep seniors in their residences. If they're forced with having to make a decision with paying rent or paying for their medications, listen, we're all about keeping folk in their homes, in their residences, helping to avoid senior homelessness, which is on the rise. So, again, without the HARC data at our disposal, we would be in serious jeopardy of not being able to provide that service to the community.
Yeah, and case management and counseling are a huge part of your business.
They are
substantial.
In addition to community outreach and socialization programming for seniors, it is what we do.
Yeah.
So it is necessary to our daily operations at JFS.
Well, we should say, thank you to Maureen Foreman, who's the CEO of JFS Desert. And, she does so much for our community. And again, it's not just case management stuff. It's also, making sure people do not get homeless. I mean, most seniors and most people on fixed incomes are only a couple weeks away from not being able to make payments. So, JFS does emergency payments for a variety of different things, car repairs, if they need a deposit for, a new apartment, all those things that keep people from getting homeless.
It's really crucial. HARC has been the evaluator on a separate project on CVAG's Coachella Valley Housing First Initiative. And it's true. When you talk to these individuals who are homeless, most of them, it was just one thing. It was a car broke down or somebody got sick or something like that. And so the fact that there are programs like JFS that they can go to prevent that and to not become homeless, it's so much easier and better to prevent homelessness than to try to address homelessness after it happens.
Yeah, because it just compounds and it gets worse and worse. I sang in the Palm Springs Gay Men's Chorus, and we actually have two gentlemen. JFS has actually helped them through counseling, but also, I see on a weekly basis the needs that they have based upon, them living in their van. And, we've all tried to help them get back, but it's really hard. We've got rising rents in the Coachella Valley. We have salaries that have kind of stayed at a low level. So, all of this is very crucial.
That's exactly right. And each person's need is different.
Right.
So if there are 10 homeless individuals who walk into our office looking for assistance, their needs are all going to be different. So being able to utilize our programs and services and being able to reach out to other partners in the community is vital as well. And I know most of them, if not all of them, are also utilizing HARC data to maintain their programs.
We're talking with Jenna Lacombe-Heinle, who's the CEO of HARC, and on the phone with us is Craig Johnson, who is the manager of community outreach. So, Craig, tell us a little bit about some of the programs you have coming up and things that you want to promote, and because we want to make sure that people have access to your programs.
Well, that's certainly exactly right. We're working on some fundraising events. I don't know that there's necessarily anything that we need shared with the public at this point, but we will have an auxiliary fundraising event coming up in November. We just started to work on that last month. So really it's kind of a hang out. We're not hang out, but stay tuned, and hopefully you're on our constant contact list. If not, please give us a call and get added to that so you are receiving announcements for any of our upcoming events.
Right. And your lunch program in Cathedral City?
Our Let's Do Lunch program?
Yeah.
Our Let's Do Lunch program, and I'm glad you brought that up, is one of our regularly scheduled socialization opportunities for seniors. We have 6 program locations throughout the desert. And again, it's a program that relies on HARC data when we go out and request support. This program is free for the seniors, and it allows them to get out of the house, get out of the apartment, engage with others, hear important programming, break some bread together, and really it oftentimes leads to the identification of additional needs in which we're hoped to be able to meet. So any interest in Let's Do Lunch, please give us a call at the office.
Well, and you were out on site with Dr. Raul Ruiz with Fine Food Bank recently and helping government workers. I mean,
that's correct.
You're on the front line a lot, Craig.
We are absolutely out there, and it was our pleasure to be out at City Hall a few weeks ago with Dr. Ruiz and Fine Food Bank, distributing support for those individuals who were suffering via the government shutdown and just suffering in general via these times, these difficult times for many. So we're out there doing what we can with the partners that we have here in the desert, which are many, and it really does take all of us to support this community.
And Craig, JFS supports all community members, not just Jewish community members, right?
That's exactly right, Jenna. We support the entire community. We are a non-sectarian provider of social services, so we are there for everyone, and certainly not just the Jewish community, but everyone includes the Jewish community. So we're there for all folk.
Jewish Family Services of the Desert, also known as JFS Desert, is a nonprofit organization. If you'd like more information, you can give them a call at 760-325-4088 or go to jfsdesert.org. Thank you so much, Craig, for joining the show today. We'll have you in the studio at a future show, and have a wonderful Sunday.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity, and you too as well.
Okay, bye-bye. So that was a really good example on how they are, again, on the front line every day responding immediately based upon the data that you've provided them.
Yeah, you know, whenever I say I run a nonprofit, people say, oh, well, what do you do? And I don't have an elevator speech. It
right.
takes me a long time to describe what I do. But one of the things that I'm very proud of is that while we are not on the front lines, we are not out there, you know, distributing food or anything like that, I'm really proud that our data helps those who do. So really, HARC's role is to be that data source that provides assistance to those helping others. So whether that be Coachella Valley Volunteers in Medicine, you know, our free clinic, or whether that's Jewish Family Service, or whether that's Desert AIDS Project, we just want to be there to be the support for those agencies that serve people.
And they really do. I mean, they look to you for the information, and, you know, they're proud partners.
They are, and we are so lucky to be in this valley with so many fabulous partners and so many organizations that are really dedicated to improving health and wellness and quality of life in our community.
So tell us a little bit about the LGBT survey.
So in 2009, the idea was, wow, we've got these big research brains at HARC, and the triennial survey, while it is work all 3 years of the cycle, it's less work in some years. And so what should we do with these research brains? And so Hark became a consultant because many organizations here would really benefit from some research or some evaluation, some data analysis, but they can't afford to have a researcher on staff. Not that we get paid a ton of money, but, you know, yeah. when times are lean.
Well, yeah, but it is your mission and your model for your business, so you're experts in it.
It is, and so they can hire Hark to conduct research. And so we've done a wide variety of projects with various partners, and one that's active right now is that we are doing a survey with the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. So if you are... If you do identify as LGBTQIA, please do go to our website, take this very brief survey. It's completely anonymous. And again, you have a chance to win $100.
Woo-hoo.
Yep, I like to throw that in wherever I can. but it's about mental health because the center has been able to offer low-cost, no-cost mental health counseling for the LGBT yep. population specifically. And they need...
And they do referrals back and forth to JFS as well.
Yes. And so we're collecting data that will help them continue to offer those services. So please do go online, go to harkdata.org and take the survey that we are doing in partnership with them. Maybe you'll win $100, but regardless, it'll take 10 minutes of your time and it'll really help the center to continue offering these services.
And please, you know, if you know somebody that's close to you or somebody in your community that's having mental health issues, find help. These are great resources. HarkData.org, JFSDesert.org, TheCenterPS.org. You know, these are community partners who are willing to help people. You know, we see these national stories about, you know, people who are committing these heinous crimes. And in 9 out of 10 cases, they've shown mental health problems before they do it. And if we can get to them early, we can be part of the solution.
Absolutely. And it is so important and it's so hard to find help, which is why JFS and the center and these other organizations that provide low to no cost counseling for those who are uninsured or underinsured is so important.
We're talking with Jenna Lacombe-Heinle, who is the CEO of Hark. When we come back, we're going to talk all about the Workplace Wellness Awards that are coming up. You're listening to the Jeff Hawker Show on iHub Radio.
Adapt the remedy to the disease. This is where the Coachella Valley comes to discuss wellness. The Jeff Hawker Show. Here's Jeff on iHub Radio.
Thanks again to Craig Johnson, who's the manager of community outreach at JFS Desert. Their website again is jfsdesert.org. Jenna and I have been talking all about their triennial survey, which again, if you get a call, the survey is going until...
July. So please, if you get a call from Kent State on behalf of Hark, please take the call. Please answer their questions. You might win $100 and you will be helping your community.
Now, you wanted to talk a little bit about what you're doing for Kaiser.
Yeah. So in addition to our huge triennial survey, we do all of these other consulting services. And we've got a couple active right now, like we were talking about with the LGBT Center. We're also doing a community health needs assessment for two Kaiser hospitals, Kaiser Riverside and Kaiser Moreno Valley. Moreno Valley's territory does include our Coachella Valley here and the Morongo Valley as well.
And I believe they're expanding more out here in the Coachella Valley,
they
too.
They are. They've got a great client base out here. And so we were really tasked with finding out what are the needs out here that they can then address through their grant program. So sort of even a step further back than normal, but they will be grant making for the next 3 years based on these needs that we've found that we're in the process of writing those up now. So it's really fun, the projects that we do. They allow us to work with a lot of great partners, whether it's the LGBT Center or Desert AIDS Project or the Kaiser Hospitals. They are a wonderful team that we love working with, but it's really fun. My researchers never get bored, that's for sure.
Do you feel a difference between the small nonprofits that you do and somebody large like Kaiser? I mean, I would imagine that the data that they need still relates to everyone.
It really does. I mean, there's obviously a budget difference.
Yeah, of course.
some of our partners can't afford to pay us very much, but we try to work with whatever budget we can to give them the data that they need. So we have some projects that are tiny. You know, we've got an evaluation with Joslin Center to evaluate some of their aging mastery programs, and that's just a little tiny project. And then we've got Kaiser that's, you know, a huge year-long project that brings in us in some good revenues. And but like I said, that's the fun part, is being able to work with all these different agencies.
Your website is harkdata.org. Give us an idea on the size of your staff and the roles that they have in not only collecting data, but they're working with customers.
So our staff is we are small but mighty. There's four of us that are researchers and then one administrative manager that keeps everything running. We would not be able to do what we do without her. And our researchers really have to be jack of all trades. So myself and my director of research, Casey, we both have PhDs. We have one researcher that has a master's, and then one that's at the our research assistant has a bachelor's degree. So
well-educated.
Very well-educated. We spend a lot of time in the classroom learning statistics and research methods. It is important.
It shows credibility for your organization.
It does. And let me tell you, it's one of those things that if you are relying on badly designed research, it's almost worse than no research at all.
Yeah.
So we've got to know our stuff here. But the fun part is, like I said, we sort of all bring in these various backgrounds to HARC, and all of it is about health indirectly, whether it's the social determinants of health. Some of it's directly, like mental health, behavioral health, and some of it's, you know, sort of indirectly. Casey, her area of expertise is on negotiation and gender gaps in pay, because women don't negotiate for higher salaries. How fascinating is that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
You know? And my graduate work was in work-life balance. So whether you have work-life balance at your work or whether your work is taking over your life.
That's my favorite word on this show, is balance. It is. It's really important to be, physically fit, eating right, having great relationships in your life. And if you don't have it, seek a counselor.
Absolutely.
So you have a Workplace Wellness Awards. Now, you've just announced that nominations are being taken right now.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So, like I said, my graduate work was in work-life balance, and I think very, very highly of that. And what we wanted to do with our event was really shine a light on those workplaces here in the Valley that are doing a great job of protecting and promoting employee health. So we have, this will be our fourth annual awards. And organizations can self-nominate. It's free to nominate yourself. And we have separate awards for large and small employers, because let's be realistic, somebody like HARC with only 5 employees can do different things and often less things than somebody like Kaiser with thousands of employees. But it's been really fun because we recognize awards in 4 areas. The first one is the one that you automatically think of, right? It's nutrition and fitness, and whether you are offering your employees healthy foods, whether you are encouraging them to take the stairs, that sort of thing. The second one is safety and ergonomics. You cannot be safe if you're getting injured at work, and you cannot be safe if you're getting, you know, repetitive stress injuries by typing all the time or sitting or any of that.
Which a huge part of the population does every day.
Every day. And I know I just got a standing desk and I love it.
Yeah.
And then the third awards are in the area of sort of mental health and wellness. So this is whether you have supportive supervisors, whether you have good work-life balance, whether you have good recognition of employees who are doing a great job. And then we have a grand prize winner who excels in all 3 of those areas. And I have to say, I love the awards because it is so inspiring to hear what these organizations are doing. Last year at the awards, I almost started crying when the...
You should have. Crying is good for you.
People in the room were crying when they were talking about one of our winners was Renova and the wonderful things that he does for his employees.
Yeah, Vince is fantastic, and Lee Goodsell and all those great people.
Absolutely
there.
Amazing. The part where the speaker started crying was because he had paid for an employee's son's funeral because she couldn't afford to bury her own child.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Absolutely moving. But a lot of people are doing such great things including Desert Oasis Healthcare was our presenting sponsor last year. I could not believe the wealth of programs that they have for their employees to protect and promote their health.
Great partner in what I do with the Palm Springs Health Run. Now, the Workplace Wellness, of course, nominations you'll take till the end of April. You can go to harkdata.org. The Workplace Wellness Awards is June 6th. Thank you, Jenna. Jenna Lacombe-Heinle, CEO of HARC, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
You're listening to The Jeff Hawker Show on iHub Radio.